Well, who knows what we've been talking about for a little while now. A long while now. It's getting long, isn't it? Hallelujah. We've been talking about faith and the importance of having faith. And we said, without faith, Hebrews 11:6 is our main scripture. We've said a lot of things about faith. And today, I'm going to continue on a little bit more. We don't have too much more to go. But I want us to understand it because I think we're gaining some things as we're looking over this over and over. I see you said, well, you've been over it 100 times now. But I don't think it's been quite that many. Right? That would be an exaggeration. We don't want to lie. Hebrews 11:6. Let's read our scripture here in a minute. That's main one of our main scriptures. We've also talked a little bit about Hebrews 1. But Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, we talked about what faith is. That's our first thing that we looked at. We said, well, what is faith? Faith we found it to be our firm persuasion. When we look it up under the Greek and so forth, it is our persuasion, or it is what we really believe down on the inside. In Romans chapter 4, we saw where Abraham was what? Fully persuaded, wasn't he? Hallelujah. So, well, I saw that before, but Romans 4, let me read that verse. And we realize that he became fully persuaded. Amen. And he believed God against all hope. Oh, happy if I get in the right chapter. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And verse 19 says this, and being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He was fully persuaded or fully convinced. And our persuasion is really what faith is. Now everybody says, well, faith, we know in Hebrews 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We talked about what that substance was when we looked at Abraham. We went back to the beginning. And that substance is what our faith gives substance to what? To the hope that the Word of God places in our heart. And we realize we got to have that image. We've got to see something different than what we have right now. In different areas of our life, it may be a little different. If you need finance, you know, then you want to allow yourself to see yourself prospering with God. What does that look like, Father? And what does that paint it? The Word of God paints a picture that God will provide what every need according to his riches and glory. That I don't have to worry about anything personally. He'll take care of me because he sees the birds of the air. He knows what I have need of. Matthew 6, that's all in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 8 said, hey, I know what you need before. 6, 8, I know what you need before you even asked. I know what you need, but he still wants us to ask. And he wants us to seek first the kingdom of God. And all of these things that the Gentiles run after, the gaining of things and money and wondering about what I'm going to eat and where I'm going to live and how I'm going to be clothed. We don't have to have all that because we got a Father that already cares for us. And those things belong to us just because we're sons of God. Now when it comes, you know, we're talking financially here, but when it comes into prosperity, he's going to look at what? He's going to look at you as the steward, the one that gave the talents. Remember the story of the talent where God gave, what, 10 talents, 5 talents, 1 talent. And what happened when we are faithful with what God gives us, then it increased. Hallelujah. But how many remember the man with the one talent? He just buried his in the ground. He didn't even put it in the bank. He said, you could at least put it in the bank. Got a little bit of money on it. That's the least you could have done. It's got a little interest. Hallelujah. You could at least came to church and got something with whatever gift you had. Amen. And used it a little bit and benefited some. But he didn't. He said, you're a wicked and lazy servant. You did not use what I've given you. You are not a good steward of it. And he lost what he had. He said, I'm going to give it to the guy that's using his talents or that's being faithful with what I have given him, whether it be money, whether it be, you know, the gifts that God's given us, whatever it may be in every area of our life. So faith's a little bit different in certain areas. And we, of course, know that we have to become persuaded that God wants me to be prosper. We got to believe God's word. We've got to find those scriptures. What did he say? He became poor that I through his poverty might be rich. The young lions do lack, Psalm 34:10. And suffer hunger. But those that what seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Philippians 4:19, one of our favorites. One of my favorites anyway. It says, but my God. Hallelujah. I like that. Hallelujah. Paul says, my God. He's your God too. Amen. Right? But my God. What's he going to do? He's going to supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. How many know riches and glory is a lot? Amen. And so we got to think about it. We've got to meditate on those things and allow what happens when we gain those areas in our life is that faith comes into those areas. Maybe it's healing. You know, so we look at 1 Peter 2:24. That's one, right? His own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We look at the atonement. We see the different places where God has promised healing in our life. And we build our beliefs with that knowledge. We gain knowledge and we believe it. We receive that and we build our belief. We build our faith in what God has said. And we said the other thing was, is we have to know the promiser. It's good to have truth. We must have truth. Truth is what we believe in. Truth is what we hang on to. Truth is the anchor of our soul because it provides us with the image of what God's going to do when we connect our faith, our persuasion. We're fully persuaded. We choose to believe that. If we place our faith in what God has said and we see ourselves different than what we are and we begin to proclaim it with our mouth and God begins to bring those things to pass. Hallelujah. And so we're understanding that faith is that firm persuasion. We all know how it comes. I just said that. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is where we gain our faith, our beliefs, our persuasions, it's the same thing. It's all one thing. What you believe. Say, do I really believe that? Am I really exercising faith in that? And that's when it comes down to, am I thinking about it? Am I doing it? Am I talking about it? See, the things you really believe in, you talk about, don't you? Amen. Some people, they certain things they really have an interest in. Maybe it's cars. So you talk to them and they're talking about cars all the time. Why? Because it interests them. That is something they really have looked into and gained knowledge about. And they'll tell you all about the car, you know. And that's good. That's natural knowledge. We're looking at supernatural. This is not really supernatural knowledge per se. But it is. It comes the same way. We study it. We look at it. We believe it. And then it begins to come to pass in our life. When we accept God's word, when we accept it as truth, what God has said, faith comes. When we say yes, So faith can come quickly and it can come pretty easily. Amen. But how many know? All right, that's the second thing, you know, and then we talked a little bit about how, what are we going to do? We can have faith. You can have all the faith in the world to be healed and not receive a miracle in your body. Because our faith has to be released in some way. And primarily, it is released with words, we said. When we believe, like I said, if you really believe about it, we're going to talk about what God has given us. Oh, it's so good. Praise God. I know God's working in me a healing and a cure. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you. I believe you. We're talking to him about it. You know, and we're going to walk in it. We're going to see it. Why? Because it's what we are giving our mind over to, our heart to, and where our beliefs come. When we believe something, we talk about that, don't we? You talk about your wife ever, Terry? How great she is. Amen. Wonderful woman. Hallelujah. Or your husband, or maybe we'll go back. How about your girlfriend? Amen. When she was your girlfriend, didn't you talk about her? You stay up late and you talk to them, right? Call them. Oh, they just went home and you're calling them on the phone. Did you make it home okay, honey? Yeah, I made it home. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And everything's so sweet and rosy, right? Hallelujah. Like they say, love is blind and marriage is an eye opener. No. And yes, you still love them, but you found out a few things you didn't know if you wanted to know. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody that's married said, amen. That's true anyway, Pastor. I know that's true, but praise the Lord. But we choose. We keep loving our husband or wife. Why? Because God's word said. See, that's faith too. There's faith in every area of your life. It takes faith to walk with God, period. We know that we said faith pleases God. And then over in 2 Corinthians 5:7, he said we walk by faith and not by what we see. That's how we walk, or that's how we live our life, is what? By faith. By what we believe. By our persuasions. Hallelujah. In other words. And so faith was, we found out it's an important thing. It's what needs to really captivate us and govern our life, and we can walk with God. See, when you go to work, and the Bible says that we're to work what? Is unto the Lord and not to men. We're not supposed to just be busy when the boss is watching us. Anybody ever seen those people, you know? You work all the time, you know, but then the boss comes in. Of course, he sees you working. Everybody else starts scattering around. They're getting busy, you know. Oh, you know, and they tell you, you know, you're working all the time. You're just a kiss-up. No, I'm not the kiss-up. You're the kiss-up. You only work when they're watching you. You're the one kissing up. I'm working all the time because I know what God said. I'm not working just to please my boss. Yeah, he'll be pleased if I'm working unto the Lord, but I'm working unto the Lord. I don't take, you know, I don't sit down and take an extra 30-minute lunch break, right? You go back to work when your time is over because you're being honest and you're doing an honest work. Say, well, they don't pay me enough. Well, did you agree to work for that wage? There's other jobs. You can leave and find another job. You know, and you know, hopefully if you got a good boss, they'll take care of you. If not, the Bible says even if they're not good to you, you're supposed to be faithful and be a witness of the Lord. Amen. We still maintain our, you know, even when they're not so great. Hallelujah. That's in Peter. But anyway, but these are areas of our life where we walk with God in every area. There are things that the Word of God speaks about. And when we take those to heart and we believe those and we talk about those things, they come to pass in our life. But also when we do those things, how many know it? You're made the righteousness of God in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That's a great truth. And yeah, but we don't want it to stay. Do you want the righteousness of Christ, of God, that's in you, to stay just as a truth that's somewhere out here? Or do you want it to become a part of your life to where people can see that you are righteous? Amen, I do. See, God didn't want to make it just so that it's a positional truth. Well, I'm seated with Christ in heaven. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ through Him. Yes, it is through Him. But ultimately, He wants that righteousness to come out where people can see it in your life so that you're not a liar all the time, if that was something that you've done. Amen. He said, put on the new man. Why? Because He said in Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Well, let's go there for a minute. Ephesians 4, let's go there for a minute. I know I'm talking about a lot of different things today, but I'm trying to kind of sum up some things and get us to realize that, see, faith is important in the sense that it is our life. It is our beliefs. It is what God has said. And we have taken that as fact, and it should lead our life. We've got to let it go before us, and we follow what our faith, what our beliefs have become. And we talked about last time that our beliefs also need to be strengthened, because that's one reason we come to church, to gain strength. How many know, any one of us in here, I don't care how much you believe, how many know you can abandon your beliefs? You may believe it, but you could abandon it. Now, some people say, well, I have abandoned mine before, but how many know 1 John 1:9 still works? Thank God you can come back. You can come back, and we come back to our beliefs at any time. But there are times when we have to strengthen our beliefs because we are in a war. You may not believe you're in a war, but I've got news for you. You are a soldier, whether you wanted to be or not. You've been drafted into the army of God. And sometimes you've got to go through some boot camp. You've got to get that word of God out, and you got to say, oh, I need to change. Why? Because of what God's word said. Let's look here in verse 15. It says, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now see, we've got to change sometimes. Here he's saying here, truth, he's talking about truth right here. In verse 15, it says, but speaking the truth, what? In love, we may grow up. Now, how many know that when people grow up, they change? Or do you want your 5-year-old to be 5 when they're 13 or 12? Now, maybe they revert back when they get up there sometimes, but, you know. But how many want to, you know, you don't want to have a 5-year-old when they're 12, right? You don't expect a 5-year-old to go out and mow the grass, but you might tell your 12-year-old, get out there and you're going to mow the grass. Well, I don't want to mow the grass. Well, you're going to mow the grass. Now, I'm going to pay you to mow the grass, but every day that you delay, I'm going to deduct from you. Now, I don't have to pay you, but I'm going to because I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter, whatever. But you're going to mow the grass. Well, you don't tell the 5-year-old, now get out there and mow the grass. Everybody says, well, why didn't you tell the 5-year-old? He has not matured or grown to the place where he's capable of mowing the grass. Because he's going to get out there and you don't know what he might do. He can't, number one, he probably can't pull it hard enough. And then he does pull it a little bit, gets his foot under there and cuts his toe off. Because he's 5 years old, he's not responsible enough. He has not learned the maturity to handle the lawnmower just yet. But you've been training him. He might come with you. He might help you, you know. help his daddy a little bit, walk with him, you know, and be careful, son. We want to be careful. You know, and he trains him. And by the time he's 12, now it's time for you to mow the grass. I'm not going to mow it. You can mow it by yourself now. So he might have had him mowing it a little bit, maybe when he was, you know, I don't know, they start to be pretty young. Get out there mowing that grass. But, you know, he can now, because when he's 5 years old, how's he going to push the mower anyway? He can hardly reach the bar. Maybe he can reach that second bar, you know. Try to push the mower. But he can't do it. Because he's got to grow up. And the truth begins to grow us up. Okay, he's saying, and really what Paul's talking about here is really, as we move forward, we're saying change. Let's skip down a few verses here. It's good to read the whole thing, but let's look here in 21. Verse 20, he said, but you've not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, and that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And then he tells us how we're going to do that. How do I put on that new man in truth? How am I going to do that? He said, first of all, he said, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He says, see, he's still talking about truth. I don't know if you saw that. Verse 15, truth. Verse 25, he's telling us how. He said, put off lying. How am I going to walk in truth? You're going to put off lying. He's really talking about the belt of truth when he gets over into the sixth chapter. How many know about the armor of God? See, he's really telling us what the belt of truth is. You put off lying. Stop lying. And get your belt on by stop lying. Now, yeah, when we're kids, when we're young, you know, you teach the Sunday school class and they're 6 and 7 and 8 years old, that's fine. You know, and anybody ever been there? You know, they teach you, oh, put on the belt of truth. You know, everybody acts like they're putting on their belt of truth. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. You act like you're getting your breastplate on. And that's all well and good when you're 6 and 7 and 8 years old. You're learning some things, but that's not what it means. We have an armor. Paul's saying you have an armor by putting off lying and speak truth. You don't lie any longer. Truth is who you are. Hallelujah. And that's part of faith too. See, walking by faith is our life. It is who God is. Because if you say, well, God said it, but I'm not going to do it, then the Bible says without faith, without our firm persuasion, without us accepting it as true, we cannot please God. Woo. Why? Because God said, put off lying. I don't want to. Some things are hard. Maybe it's hard. Sometimes there's things in our life that are not easy to put off. Hallelujah. But that's why we have faith. We have our persuasion. We have what God has said. And we accept it as truth. And we say, yes, I must. I must therefore put away lying and speak truth with my neighbor. Amen. These are things. See, there's changes that take place. And as we learn his truths, and as in different areas of our life, we grow up into him and we become established and we become strong because we are warriors with God. We have an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. It's what he does. It's what he's good at. Yes, Jesus defeated him, but you and I are responsible to let our faith mature to the place that we take it and let it govern our life, and we let it tell us what to do. Because it's based upon what God said. Well, all it seems I have is what you said, Lord. Hallelujah, you're in a great place to please our Father. Hallelujah, Father. It doesn't look like anything around me is changing too much. See, He will change things. Faith will change things, including you and I, if necessary. We like to put all responsibility, you know, a lot of times people say, well, God is in control. Well, He's kind of in charge, but He's really not in control. He's the boss. And what He said, but see, He put parameters already on Himself by what He said. God can't do everything. Well, what do you mean He can't do everything? No, He can't. He cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. He can't. And He also can't make you do something. And He won't, because He's given you a will. And He said, you must choose. And the reason the world's having so much trouble, a lot of times people look around the world and they say, well, I don't know if I can believe in God. Look at all this evil. Why is it there? Because sin and corruption is in this earth, because man is a fallen being. And he is in sin, and sin is what destroys the earth. And if you take a non-born-again believer, you can teach them like Hitler taught his men, and they can kill somebody and not even think about it. And it doesn't bother their conscience at all, because they are in death, and they're separated from God, and they cannot know him. They can know him if they come to him, but in their state, in the state that their spirit's in, they're separated from God. They're in spiritual death. That's why we're proclaiming the gospel to every generation, to every kindred, every people group, right? We proclaim Jesus is Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's why we're going about the world. That's why we're sending people to the world. That's why we go into the world. Amen. To proclaim Jesus with our life and with our word. Amen. And to show him to people. How many know the church, we're to have answers, folks. Amen. We're the ones that got answers in time of trouble. Jesus is the answer. Everybody said, well, Jesus is the answer. Yes. And we need to be seeking him and be ready. I have an answer. He said, what? Be ready to answer every man. Why do you believe that, Pastor Brother Tony? Why do you believe that? Because of what God's word has shown me. Because of what God's word has said. Because God desires that relationship with you, and he paid a price for you. And you can know the same God I do. But you have to first, what, be born again. If they're not going to be born again, they can't. They're never going to know God. People say, well, I know God, but they're in a false religion. See, there's two things that's going to affect our faith. A couple of things. Number one, we talked about this last time a little bit, but sometimes people are affected with trial and tribulation, testings, and so forth, as we know, because we read there in Mark 4 last time. We looked at Mark 4. Well, let's go to Luke 8 for a minute. Whew. And you say, well, why do we need to see, we have to continually move forward. God said when we continue in his word, continue. Everybody say continue. That doesn't mean stop. That means we continue. And as we looked in Ephesians, we grow up into him with faith, with our beliefs, with our firm persuasions in who God has made me. He said in 24 of Ephesians that you were made in true righteousness and holiness. You are righteous. Yes, that is a fact. Because of what Jesus did at the cross alone, we are made right before God. But that righteousness is not supposed to keep you just seated with him. It's supposed to bring you into a place where you show righteousness in your life. See, there's two kinds of righteousness. Yes, God makes me righteous, but because I'm righteous, that righteousness will speak to me because my conscience is alive to God, and it will push out lying. It will push out thieving. It will push out the use of alcohol. It's going to push out whatever's facing us in our life. Unforgiveness, fear, torment, whatever it is in your life that the enemy is trying to bring against us. And what the old nature brought against us and what our flesh sometimes brings against us, it will push out. It says the flesh, what war is against the spirit? But we are victors. We are victors in Christ. And when we walk in Christ and when we decide, I'm going to let my belief, my faith, my persuasion govern my life, it's going to talk to me and I'm going to walk by what I believe. Hallelujah. Praise God. We were looking at Luke 8. Hallelujah. I believe it's Luke 8. Yeah. Let's see. Luke 8:11. It says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when the heat they hear, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root in themselves, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. Now, it says verse 14, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Huh. Interesting. We hear, but we have to allow our faith to bring us to a place where our fruit begins to mature and we are ripe and we have what? What is our fruit? Part of the fruit of our spirit? Love. How many know we should walk in love, right? What does that mean? That means we walk in truth. He said, speaking the truth in love. But love is who God is. It's not what he has, it's who he is. A lot of times we love a person, but God's love is the unconditional love that he gives to all men. That's the love of God. The love of God takes no account of the evil wrong done to them or the evil that they were wronged by. Amen. But it endures long and is patient and kind. See, these are the fruits of the Spirit in our life. And the enemy comes to take that word. Why? So we never come to a place of maturity and value with God, and we can set somebody else free. We can lead them to what? The King. We all have testimony. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It doesn't. But it does mean we have to start maturing. How many know that you've matured since you were 5 years old, physically? And hopefully, mentally. You know, you've matured, right? You've grown up some. But does that mean everything you did was perfect? No, I still, you said, well, I'm human. I still make mistakes. Even though you matured, have you ever made a mistake? But hopefully you're not making the same mistakes as the five-year-old, right? Oh, I wet my pants, mommy. Oh, okay. I said, well, how do you know that? Yeah, it can happen, you know. He's 5 years old. I waited too long, I wet my pants. You know, you don't whip the five-year-old for wetting his pants. You say, oh, well, honey, we'll change him. You know, I know you're getting it. You know, it's just, you know, they made a mistake. They didn't go when they should have went, or the teacher didn't let them go, or something happened. They forgot, you know. You're thinking, what? They forget. I don't know. They got busy playing. And now, you know, they see, you know, they wet their pants. Well, you don't scold the 5-year-old, but you don't want your, you know, your 15-year-old to be wetting their pants, do you? Or the 20-year-old or the 30-year-old. You know, and then we say there's a problem. You know, we find out what the problem is. We go to the doctor and we say, man, must be something physically wrong because that shouldn't be happening, right? And we understand. And so in the kingdom, we have fruit that God wants to bring: maturity, love, joy. I know that's a big one now. See, joy is not happiness. Happiness is based on circumstance, but joy comes from the Lord. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's joy in the midst of turmoil. You said, well, how can I have joy in the midst of turmoil? Because I got the greater one in me. See, it's not natural fruit. This is fruit of our spirit, not our natural man, not our outward body, but our spiritual man. And it should come through our natural body. Amen. When we allow it to. Now, looking at some people, you know, sometimes you say, well, they don't really have much joy because they're always frowning and they're this, they're that. But it's not about that. We have joy of the Lord. When He comes, hallelujah, His joy satisfies. It makes us content. It brings a peace. It brings things that the world cannot give you or your flesh cannot give you. You know, we know it's true. How many people have ever seen people, you know, they get all kinds of money. They can buy whatever they want. Then why do they commit suicide? Because they haven't found the joy of the Lord. They didn't know God. They didn't come to Christ. They didn't have the chance. See, these are all things that are part of our walk of faith with God. Sometimes we don't feel joy. How many ever hear you don't feel joyful? I don't feel very joyful, but you know what? You rejoice for a little while, pretty soon joy starts rising up. Why? Because it's part of who you really are. The real you comes out. That's why we talked about, I don't remember when we talked about worship. Just taking some time. Oh Lord, I just need a minute, you know? Say, well, I'm crying, I'm driving, and I'll pull over 1 minute, just give it a minute. I worship you, Father. I thank you, Lord. The Bible says, see, James said, count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptation. We're just reading here. People fell away. Why? Because they were tempted. They had trial. They didn't have enough root in themselves. Their faith was weak. It was not strong. And so we have to remember that. One thing is that, you know, the enemy comes, of course, but, where was I? He comes with that trial. Sometimes trial can, it's going to weaken. That's why we've got to keep our faith strong. That's why you said, how do I keep it strong? You feed on the same thing that gave it to you to begin with. So, well, I'm not much joy. Well, we've got some joy scriptures for you. You know, I'll help you find some if necessary. But everybody, you know, you got a concordance in your Bible, you can find some. Amen. Everybody knows one, right? Everybody knows the one there that says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Most people know that. I think it's 8:10, I believe. But anyway, Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I like the one in Psalm where David, he said, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Hallelujah. Put your hope in God. Lord, why so downcast, O my soul? Put my hope in God. Why? Because He believed. He said, I'm not going to allow myself to stay discouraged. And he had a lot to be discouraged about. We're talking about the kings coming to kill him. We're not talking about somebody that had no training or, you know, couldn't do it. He's got armies and they're looking for him. And he's hiding. Thank God. I mean, this is the king. Not only that, this is his son-in-law. He knows him. You know, this is, David, remember? Because he killed Goliath, he won the girl, praise God. He was all happy. Hey, you know, what young man wouldn't be, right? He got the girl, got the king's daughter. And Jonathan, fortunately, his brother-in-law became his good friend. Thank God for Jonathan. Amen. Because he'd tell him what daddy's doing. Nope, I'm going to, if I shoot the arrow past you, David, you run, you go. And sure enough, he better go. Not today, because Saul had a habit of listening to the enemy. And then he'd call for somebody to play, get a little worship, get it off him, and then he'd go listen to him again. He was like, what do they call that? Kind of schizophrenic. Or maybe we would say manic depressive, you know. Only his would happen really fast. You know, he'd be all right with David. Next thing you know, he throws a spear in the wall. Whoo! Just missed him. And David had his opportunities. He still was faithful to God in trial. And that's why we strengthen our faith. So, well, how do I strengthen? Hearing the word of God. Coming to church. Amen. We remain strong with our brethren. Prayer. Spending time with our Father. Letting His presence come. Saturate us. Being strengthened, the Bible says in Ephesians, Paul said that we'd be strengthened with all power and might. Where? In our inner being. That we might know something. The depth, the breadth, the height, the length of the love of God, and experience that love and be filled to what? All the fullness of God. Our faith has a purpose. And that's kind of what I'm talking about today. It's not just to get things. Yes, our faith can grab things, but we also have faith to live life. And we also have faith to fulfill our assignment with God. And part of our assignment is to mature. If we don't mature, then we're going to stay a baby and we're going to have faith in our heart and we're going to believe some things, but we can't seem to get anything done. We can't ever get it to come to pass because it's so weak that we don't bring ourselves in other areas of our life so that we will speak the truth, so that we will receive that and be a warrior. At least in North America, it seems, you know, Canada, U.S., you know, most Christians don't have the attitude that they're a soldier. And we are. Or we missed a boot camp anyway. Because when we can take and let what we believe, what we are persuaded of, govern our life, everything changes. Yes, what we get in the natural, we can receive things. But it's to govern our whole life. And we can't forget. Sometimes there's other things that hold things back, like unforgiveness. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. If there's one thing that I've ever seen hold something back from people, it's when we have offense against someone, or we take offense. Jesus said, offense is going to come. There's going to be offenses. It's going to happen. But we've got to choose not to accept them, not to internalize, not to personalize offense that comes. Jesus was offensive sometimes. I mean, think about it. You remember the woman that was the Phoenician woman that came to be get her daughter healed to him? He says, oh, healing's only for the children. It's the children's bread. Leave us alone, basically. And she said, you know, he says, it's not for the dogs. Today it'd be like, he called me a dog. Can you believe that? I'm going to get on Facebook and tell everybody what Jesus called me. Because I'm so sad. No, she didn't. She humbled herself. And she said, even the dogs, Master. She knew he was the king. Even though she wasn't of the Jewish race, even though she wasn't under the old covenant, she said, I humble myself. Even the dogs take the crumbs from the master's table. She stood her ground because she said, I'm going to receive. And he said, I haven't seen such great faith. What great your faith. Go. Your daughter is healed. Your daughter's delivered. She's free because you have believed. See, there are keys that we need to remember that help us as we exercise what we believe. And it's taking the same idea into every area of our life. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, serving God, working, having friends, being a good friend. Well, I don't have any friends. Well, the Bible says be friendly. That's going to take some effort. It's going to be more than just saying, well, the Bible says be friendly, Lord. Okay. And you may say, well, I could be a good friend. Yeah, you could be. But you have no friends. Because you never stepped out of it makes me uncomfortable. That's the flesh. And it's going to war against your spiritual man. And you're going to have to say, no, I'm going to be friendly. I'm going to have a friend. Lord, help me. Lead me in it, Lord. You know it's hard for me. Help me, Lord. I'm going to put down whatever it is about me that I think isn't good enough to have a friend. I'm going to be friendly. Hallelujah. And I'm going to trust God to guide me to some godly, good friends and make good choices. Because he's given us his word. I mean, he said in Proverbs, it says, don't make friends with those evil people that are scheming to kill and scheming to destroy. Don't get associated with them. Don't let them talk you into stuff. Stay away from them. Amen. Why? Because I am a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God. I belong to the King. And his way is the way I walk. Because I've chosen to believe him. I've chosen to believe what he said is true. And it's going to affect my life. Some of you are out there like, wow, I didn't know faith was that important. Hallelujah. But what can we believe? See, if we can believe that God will hear me when I pray. See, that's another important belief. That he is a rewarder, right? We're believing that he's a giver. He's not a withholder. Then he'll give me when I ask. Hallelujah. Amen. I can believe that I receive because I know my Father heard me. Because, number one, you knew it was his will. That's the number one thing with faith, right? To know it's God's will. Secondly, that God heard me. Because if you don't know it's his will, you'll never ask in confidence. And he said, if our heart condemns us, we don't have confidence with God. See, all of this works together in faith. Am I making any sense to anybody today? We've got to mature in areas of our life because it affects our faith. And it will bring us to a place where faith and nothing is impossible because we believe God. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. Father, we thank you for your word today that your faith has given us purpose. It gives us a reason, Lord, and how, Lord, to walk with you. That we can use our faith, yes, to obtain promises and obtain things, but we can use our faith, Father, to walk with you and to allow you to help us to change in every area of our life. And Father, that faith and our beliefs, our persuasions, Lord, affect every part of us. So, Lord, we want to surrender once again today. Say, Lord, help me, Lord, as I hear your word in different areas of my life, and help me to see where I'm lacking and what I need help in, Lord. Maybe I need joy, Lord. I need that peace that passes understanding, Lord. I haven't really allowed it down in there, Lord, and I'm trying to believe you, but I've let my cares try to destroy my faith. Lord, I thank you that you'll help me, Lord, to see myself as a warrior today, Lord, that I'm not just a son, but I'm also a warrior, Lord, that I'm in your army, and that I can win battles with your help. We thank you and we praise you for that, Lord, today. In Jesus' mighty name, Father.